We've been on this the whole year, and I did take a break this morning as I took a break down here a couple weeks ago. I preached a message this morning titled, What Does It Mean to Be Saved? If I can encourage anyone, look that up online on the podcast or whichever way you may find it, and give it a listen and see if it be a blessing to your heart. Took a little break this morning. We finished on this second section of our Mindset series up north or up in Abiramin. And we're going to conclude this portion of the Mindset series tonight in this section here, and then go into our third section next week. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, if you will. And once you get them, I'm going to ask you to stand. And on the screen, it should say verse 2. Verse 2. Well, we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, or what is that good, and acceptable, and perfect will of God. Father in heaven, we do come before you tonight again and ask you to please bless the preaching of your word this evening. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to come and collectively meet together as the body of Christ in a local new church setting. Lord, I thank you for us being able to have a good time and enjoy one another's company and time together, Father. And I pray as the preaching of the Word of God comes forward that our hearts and our minds, Lord, would be sober, Lord, that they would be attentive unto your Word. And Father, as we can look back over the past several weeks of this year and within this series, allow us and enable us, if you will, to apply this into our life. And Father, as soon as it begins to get monotonous in our life, I pray that you recharge us. Bring us back to that disciplined mind, Father. Help us get into that idea of the decisions within this mindset that we would do the right thing, Father, before your eyes. We love you. We do thank you, and we ask you now to please go with us as we move forward in this service, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we ask, amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Beloved, it's the renewed mind that we need in our life if we're going to prove what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. The renewed mind only comes by way of the Word of God. A renewed mind doesn't come through mantras. It doesn't come through meditation. A renewed mind doesn't come from any way in a Christian's life outside of the Word of God. It comes by learning the Word of God, by loving it, by living it through daily activities in our daily lives. Our thinking process is the key. It's not a think and grow rich. It's not a multi-marketing idea. That's not what a mindset series is, and that's not what the renewed mind is. It is honestly our thinking process, which is the key to developing the character that we need as a Bible believer, as a Christian. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And that is the truth, guys. If you think in your heart, and how you think in your heart, so you are going to be. Stephen Covey says that if you sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. And we know that to be true. Something that's worth doing is going to take a mindset to develop it. But in the Christian life and in the Christian realm, it is going to require a renewed mind for us not to fall into the temptation of the world and to be transformed by not being conformed to the world's methods. We've seen in the first section of our mindset series, we looked at the mindset of discipline and what it requires to have discipline and have such a mindset in this life. Our second section in this series is titled Decisions, and this is part 3 tonight of Decisions. A decision is defined as a conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. Now, when you reach something after consideration, what does that mean you put into that? You put thought into it. You put a plan into it. You have a vision, as we spoke about under the discipline portion. You have that vision and that plan. You have those goals set up, but you put some thinking into it. You put some sweat equity to it in your mind to make sure those goals are achieved. But somewhere along the line, you got to pull the pin. You got to execute all these things that you've been thinking about And you got to start putting some legs up underneath them. Start doing it rather than talking or just thinking about it. But how you think about something is how you're going to perform the thing. The first decision that we heard in week one is that we must set the bar. We need to have a disciplined mindset to set the bar at a level that is going to require effort, but not at a level that is unapproachable or unreachable, if you will. Having a disciplined mindset will naturally lead one into lifting a standard in their life and to set that bar in their life, I believe. That brings us to the second phase of the decisions, which was simply to be better. Now, I know that's an easy thing to say, and I preached on that last Sunday night, but just be better in your life. Be better than you were yesterday. Be better than you were last week. We're encouraged in our life with a disciplined mindset. We're encouraged to make decisions to outwork ourselves yesterday. Outwork what we did the day before. Be better than you were last year. Be better than you were last week or last month. Be better than you were yesterday. Ever growing, if you will. The Bible tells us to grow in grace. And the only way that you're going to grow in grace is to put the work in the Word of God, to have that renewed mind, but to make that decision to be better than you were before. I used to hear a preacher say all the time, and I agree with him, that if you were closer to the Lord Jesus Christ at any given point after you were saved, of course, if you were closer to the Lord Jesus Christ at any given point in your life than you are at this very moment, then you're backslidden. Now, that's a pretty harsh statement because we know, guys, we all go through slumps. We go through spiritual winter phases in our life. There are times that we're up in the crack of dawn. We're up in the morning time. First thing we do is we say our prayers. We get into our Bible. We read our Bible. We don't miss church. We learn our memory verses. We witness to people. There's times when it's just fluid and it's easy to do. And then there's other days that you just don't, let's just be natural. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like reading. You don't feel like witnessing. There's times that you just don't feel like going to church. You see what I'm saying? It's a natural part of humanity, if you will. It's the natural side of us. That old man is still with us, and that's why we deal with those things. And that's why the mindset is so important. That's why our thinking process is so vital in the Christian life, because it's going to require a disciplined mindset to get over those winter times in our life, to get over those slumps, if you will, those spiritual slumps. And so for us to be better, guys, in our life, better than we were before, better than we were last week, better than we were last month, it's going to require a new mind, a different way of thinking. It all will require work. And again, I've said this time and time again throughout this series, anything worth doing is going to require labor. So the third and final decision that we need to make, or we need to at least be willing to make, is something that it's almost another refusal, if you will. We need to strive to be better. We need to set the bar to biblical standards. But beloved, number three, we must decide to blame not. To blame not. And you say, what on earth does that mean, preacher? What you mean by blaming? I preached this morning. Yesterday. I was preaching yesterday on the making of a champion. And I talked about the workout that we did. It was a good workout. I really, in hindsight, wished I'd have done it with you guys, but the numbers were perfect. Didn't want to add another row. Didn't have any room there, you know. So anyway, that's my excuse. I'm going to stick to that one at least. But it was a good workout. But I asked everyone. I said, how much harder would that workout have been if we had decided to strap two 22.5-kilo dumbbells on your back and do those 6 step-ups, and do those 8 over the shoulders, and do those 10 sit-ups, and those 12 slam balls, and those 14 kettlebell swings, and the 16 calories on the ski. How much harder would it have been? It would have been much, 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 much harder, wouldn't it? It would. I can assure you here, Davith will do a better job at 19.3 in the CrossFit Open just himself as opposed to me on his back and doing it. Amen? So 112 kilos gets on his back and say, come on, Davith, let's go. Let's do however many. Let's do 50 step-ups on the thing while you hold it down. It's going to be greatly difficult. But guys, as funny as that may sound and much of a joke as it may sound, people are doing that, and I would dare say most of us and many of us are doing that in our spiritual and emotional and mental lives every single day. We would not in 100 years consider trying to carry 100 kilos on our back all day long and all night long, and we just wouldn't do it. But we are holding the things of the past, and we're blaming situations in our life on the government, on the world, on parents, on children, on all these different things that are going on. I mean, it's been the same thing since the fall of man, is to look at someone else and say, well, hey, hang on a second. I didn't get that speeding ticket. It's that camera that caught me. It's the camera's fault that I got the speeding ticket. Amen and amen. We do that. In Genesis chapter 3, you can read it from the screen. The Bible says in verse 12 and 13, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, that silly old snake over there, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. There is a character in the flesh of mankind which naturally searches to cast blame on others around them. Society has ran with this notion for years. We've developed pseudo-diagnoses, if you will, in droves, trying to make excuses why we do what we do. Children grow up blaming parents. Parents blame the schools blame the government. The government blames the political parties. And around we go in this vicious circle, blaming everyone for, listen carefully, our mistakes and our mess-ups. And beloved, the reality is this. Yes, children are at fault. Yes, parents are at fault. Yes, schools are at fault. Yes, the government is at fault. Yes, the political parties are at fault. Why? Because we live in a flawed world. We do not live in a perfect world. We live in a failed society, my friend. It's all of our fault. We can't cast blame. We're all to take the burden of the blame, not everyone else. So we need to make the decision to pull that pin, to blame not everything else in society. We've used this verse throughout the series of decisions. But Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 13, he says that, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I mean, the mighty Apostle Paul. Guys, I don't know if you have a love for Paul like I do, but I idolize Paul and the great man that he was. He wrote 14 books of the Bible. He was the man of God that God chose. He was separated from his mother's womb unto the gospel. And I mean, he gave everything up just to get the gospel into lands that really and truly would have been happy just to kill him and be done with him. Here's this guy, massively successful. Here's this guy, massively just, I mean, seeing churches planted and souls saved, and all the time while he's going into these different cities and different countries, he's being beaten, he's being whooped, he's being stoned, he's been thrown in jail, he's been made fun of, he's mocked out, his own countrymen beat him 5 times. I mean, all these things that Paul went through all these years, and yet he never lost the vigor, never lost the fervor. Even when he was sick and nigh unto his deathbed, he's writing with that pen, encouraging people to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to say, there's one secret. There's got to be a secret to his success. There's got to be a reason why Paul was as good as he was and did what he did. And he simply says this one thing I do. It wasn't Bible school. It wasn't degrees. It wasn't learn a new language. It wasn't do this. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into the things which are before. I mean, beloved, you're not going to be able to get through this life successfully by trying to carry all the baggage from yesterday. One of the greatest detriments in society today is the extra baggage that we are carrying around. Beloved, a believer does not automatically get a life made of a bed of roses. But when the Lord enters into a person's life, they now have Him to depend on in the midst of the ever-growing thorns that come into our days. Paul was found in all kinds of precarious situations, if you will. Circumstances had brought into his life great pain and great sorrow. From the beatings and the stonings that I've already mentioned, from the shipwrecks I didn't mention a moment ago, the apostle, this great apostle unto the Gentiles, saw it all. Have you ever wondered why he was so great? Again, we've already mentioned it, why he was the greatest preacher out of Jesus Christ. I've already mentioned it. The answer is simple. It's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. I mean, whatever the task may be, the mighty Apostle Paul was able to present his body a living sacrifice to become the greatest church planting missionary in the history of mankind, because he purposed in his heart that this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you say, well, preacher, that sounds great about Paul, but we're not Paul. True. But I'm going to present this to you today. The choice is yours. The choice is ours. We can continue to hold to our problems. We can continue to hold to our pain. We can continue to hold to our predicaments of this life, or the predicaments of the past, if you will. Or what we can do is we can forget them and we can press toward the mark. But I can tell you this, you can't do both. You're not going to hold on to what things used to be or what used to do or who did what to you and reach that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're not going to do it. You're not going to sit back and hold on to what's back here and try to grab a hold of what's in front. It won't happen. The reality is, we cannot do one thing about yesterday. When that time clock went off on Friday, and I was trying to get that whopping third handstand press up, I fell on my head. All right? It went off. There was nothing I could do. Hey, listen, I could have had another minute. Still wasn't going to be anything else I was going to do. But I am telling you, when the time was over with, there was nothing I could do about it. There's nothing you can do about yesterday. Maybe you got into an argument. Maybe you had a bad day. Maybe something happened yesterday that's unhappy. You know what, guys? There's nothing you can do about it. It's done and dusted. It's over with. There's nothing you can do about this morning. There's nothing you can do about this afternoon. There's nothing that you can do about what happened 5 minutes before you came into church tonight. There's nothing you can do what happened just 2 or 3 seconds ago. Watch this. There went another second. You couldn't stop it. You can't change what happened. It is what it is. And yet we hold to so much that is behind us. We hold to so much of that which we have zero control. And it affects what we have actual control on. It affects our decisions as what's going on right here, right now. You see, my friend, the only thing that we can do is make the decision to blame not and prepare and perform for that which is in front of us right now and right here. It's the decision that you and I must make today for tomorrow. Look in verse 2 right there in Romans chapter 12 with me, and notice three words with me. He says, be ye, watch that next word, transformed. The word transformed is defined as to make a marked change in form, nature, or appearance. We have a natural propensity in our life today to cast blame of those around us, and therefore we must be transformed in our thinking, transformed in our thought process. We must be transformed to make a decision to blame not, even when it's legitimately someone else's fault. Whatever we do with an issue, a problem, or an outcome, it is our decision. Even if someone is completely at fault, our reaction and how we take that issue, problem, or outcome, it's our decision. It's our control. When we decide to blame not in the world today, we are enabled to be transformed, giving us, number one, protection. We all want to be protected, don't we? We want to guard our heart. We want to guard our mind. We want to guard our mouth. We want to guard our eyes, guard our ears, guard our body. We want protection. When we look back at the past, we hold on to what has happened. When we do those things, when we allow the weight of someone else's decision to dictate the direction of our own life, beloved, it's our choice to make change. It's our choice to make a difference. It's our decision that we must make. But yet when we blame someone else, we lose our protection. And we're allowing them to dictate where we go in our direction. Most often we equate forgetting the past or leaving things behind when it only applies to the negative. Everything that I've said thus far, really and truly, most of us was probably thinking of how someone has wronged you or the bad things that's happened in life. But did you know holding on to the past is not just of the negative things? Paul didn't just forget those things which are behind that were negative. He forgot all of that which was behind, positive and negative. When he said, this one thing that I do, forgetting those sweet things, which things are behind, he means it all. He means both good things and bad things. You see, Paul said to the Ephesian church, he says, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul wrote unto the Colossian church and said, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Guys, there's nothing wrong with being good at what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being good at who you are. We just need to remember that our confidence must reside in the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do in this life. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So when you're looking back and you're saying, "Well, I got to let that go and let that go and let this go," it's not just the negative things in your life that you got to let go, but you can't live in the past, the past victories either. There's nothing wrong with doing things right. But whatever you do, do to the glory of God. I mean, on the heels of the verse that we have just above us there, I want us to look at the next point. When we make the decision to blame not, we're given the ability to have power. So first, when we blame not, we have protection. Number two, when we blame not, we have power. In other words, we are to take responsibility. I'll read this verse from the screen, Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. The Paul says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Beloved, we are accountable for our own actions. When you are given power in your life, when you make the decision to not blame others, you're given power in your own life. You're accountable for your own choices. You're made responsible for the decisions that you make, and you're also given the effort that we place in the decisions of the next day. I'll be the first one to admit it. Life is difficult at times, and sometimes life is difficult all the time. But man, when you hear of the atrocities that are happening around us every single day, when you hear of the, I saw a headline this morning that Asda is eventually going to stop selling single knives at the store because of knife crime rising so high. I got a news flash for you. That ain't going to stop the knife crime when Asda quit selling the thing. What, a car maker is going to quit selling cars when people run them down bridges and mow people over? A bricklayer is going to quit breaking mix when bricks when they pick a brick. Listen, guys, the problem, the atrocities in this life is not what's being bought at the store. It's the people buying those things at the store. And the problem is down at the root of ourself, guys. And the problem is sin in this world today. And so, but here's the issue with us this evening. If we focus primarily on the negative in this world, we're going to have a pretty dismal outlook on life. In the life we live, there's plenty of negative things going on in this world today that if you want to highlight them, yeah, you know what? You'll probably be pretty depressed. But it's no different than if we focus on the positive and only the positive things in our life, we'll really have an outlook on life that's not reality. What we have to do in our own selves is we have to make the decision to take responsibility for our own actions. I can't take responsibility for your actions. We need to stop blaming those around us, even in the world that we live in, even the crime or the great and wonderful things that happen. We need to quit casting blame on all of these things in our life. Even if life is hard because of the world, guys, if it's hard, it's hard for everyone. It's not more difficult for this person here than it is that person. It's just a different degree or level or even culture, if you will. What we need to make the decision to do is take the power back in our own lives. And quit looking at this person and what they're doing, that person and what they're doing, and the newsreel and the news on the emails and all this and that, and take responsibility for our lives to make decisions. Now imagine this tonight. What if everyone in your community this evening decided to take the power back for their village, and they said, "You know what? I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop stealing, I'm going to stop cussing, I'm going to stop not showing up to work, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm going to stop all these different things." What if that happened and everybody took responsibility for their own actions? What would happen? Eventually, it'd be a pretty nice place to live, now wouldn't it? Now, I'm not trying to create heaven on earth. I'm just trying to tell you here tonight that there comes a time in our life that we just got to take responsibility for us. We got to make decisions for our lives and our families. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." He said, gird up the loins of your mind. He said, be sober. Think right. Do right. take the power back this evening. Have that protection in your life by not blaming everything that is around you for the circumstance or the situation that you're in. That's your decision to make. And even if someone has legitimately wronged you, or even if all of those praises and accolades that came into your life, either which way, if they're in the past, leave them there. Don't bask on what it used to be or how it used to be. Lastly, when we make the decision to blame not, we're given protection. We have the power, meaning we have the responsibility, but it sets us in motion to press forward. The word press means to exert continuous pressure physically. And again, we go back to the Apostle Paul's life and how he became the greatest preacher on the planet. And how did he do that? He did that because he was diligent in surrendering to the will of God. Because he was willing to surrender to God's will in his life, millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of souls have been, are, and will be saved, blood-bought by the Holy Spirit of God. He didn't allow his circumstances to define him. He didn't allow his culture to define him. He didn't allow his situations to define him. He didn't allow his loss, nor his victories or his praises to define him. He just continued to press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He didn't allow those things. He says those one things, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul was ever pressing forward. And whether he was in a ship, heading to another land, whether he was on foot walking to the next village, whether he was in a prison cell writing a letter, or whether he was on his knees steadfastly praying, Paul never stopped. He continued to press forward and move. And beloved, if we're going to have success in our life, if we're going to come off the heels of a disciplined mindset and begin to make the decisions to start doing things rather than just thinking them. First, you're going to have to change the way you think. But once you change the way you think, you're going to have to pull that pin. You're going to have to execute. You're going to have to actually get into the motion of doing things rather than talking about them. Rather than making excuses. Guys, if we could go around this room this evening, and I would be willing to say that we could probably come up with 40 reasons each why we shouldn't maybe do something, I don't know, or why we are the way we are. And, you know, kids start blaming parents, parents start blaming kids, and chairs get thrown, shoes come off, and there, I mean, it'd just be a fiasco. But I can give you one reason tonight, if you want success. Forget those things which are behind. Reach forward in those things that are before. Press forward in a continual exertion of energy, of movement in your life. Growing in the grace of God. I used this quote a couple times over the last 15 or so years. Or not quote, it's a story. There was a guy that played ball during the same era that I played in the collegiate level, Charles Johnson. He played for Colorado, the University of Colorado. And he was a first-round draft choice in the NFL in 1993. He was known as CJ. His name is Charles Johnson. And he was on the receiving end, if you will, of a dynamic duel with the quarterback named Cordell Stewart. Cordell Stewart was a quarterback there at Colorado, went on to the Pittsburgh Steelers and played, and they were fabulous together, wonderful. CJ spent 8 years in the NFL. He set collegiate records at Colorado. And in 1993, I remember the play. I remember it being on ESPN. It was the play of the week. It was a marvelous catch. He had one of the most dramatic receptions to date. It was wonderful. CJ had speed, he had size, he had hands, he had talent. And when he went to the combines, he showed out, man. He was a first-round draft pick. But there's something that the NFL does not have. There's something that the most sophisticated equipment in the world cannot measure. And it can't measure a player's character. His heart, his drive, his determination. If teams could measure that, CJ would have been off the charts. I copied an article down. It's an old article. But one reporter described it like this. This is what he said about Charles Johnson. He said, "It's not because of where Johnson is at this point, but how he arrived here that makes him extraordinary. If one were to write the story of Johnson's life, it would be equal parts of Boys in the Hood and Horatio Alger. Too many places, no home. His father left home when he was 2 years old." And he said, while growing up in San Bernardino, California, Johnson's mother battled a cocaine addiction. leaving him and his younger sister Christine drifting from place to place. From the time that he was in the eighth grade, which is about 11 years old, until he was a junior in high school, which is roughly 16 or 17 years old, he had lived at 16 different places with an assortment of relatives and friends and in the welfare hotels. Overwhelmed by it all, during his sophomore year at Cajun High School there, Johnson attempted suicide by swallowing a handful of pills. Johnson, by the time he had gotten to college and began to play ball in his last year at the age of 22, he survived all of this. He was a high school All-American football player. He was a member of the academic All-Big Eight Conference at Colorado. And I'll explain to you what that means after church tonight. And he graduated from Colorado in 3 years as opposed to four with a bachelor's degree in marketing. But so many kids, this is what the reporter went on to say, so many kids use the cop-out that I'm black, I'm from a broken home, I'm from a bad neighborhood, and they do nothing with their lives. Jerry Buckner said this, who took Johnson into her home in 1989, whom Johnson now calls his mother. She said what I just quoted to you, and she went on to say this, but Charles took all those things and just inverted them. I don't know how he did it, she said, and then she ends, but he did. He doesn't dwell on the past, the reporter went on to say, and he reluctantly talks about it. Looking back, this is what Charles says, looking back doesn't do me any good because there's nothing there, he said. He says, I'm more interested in what is happening now and what's going to happen in the future. Sum that whole article up. It's all about decisions. It's about decisions that we make in our life with the circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. Charles Johnson could be one of those guys that says, hey, you know what? Look at all the things that have happened to me. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to fall in line with everyone else. And I'm going to get on the welfare ticket and I'm going to do nothing with my life. And this God-given talent that I've been given, I'm just going to let it roll. But he didn't do that. He became a productive man, a greatly wonderful productive man in society, a tremendous athlete, got his degree, and is still successful this day. And the greatest part about it all, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't take all the things that happened to him and wear it on his badge. He says, you know what's back there? Nothing's there. I'm more interested in what's going to happen today and what the future holds. Beloved, this is what decisions are about. In the mindset and having a renewed mind, and having the mindset of discipline, the next step is making those decisions. They're ours to make. We need to set the bar in our decisions. We need to be better in our decisions. And we need to blame not in our decision. These three is part of the ever-developing, renewed mind that God would have us to have. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, thank you again for the blessing of this evening. And I ask you to please just take your word tonight and sanctify it to our hearts and our minds. I pray that you would, Lord, give us a clear understanding of that which was said. And Father, help us make the decision in our life to blame not. Help us set the bar, Father, to be successful in these days. And Lord, help us be better in our Christian life. Better today than we were yesterday. Better this week than we were last week. Better than last month. Better than last year. And Father, if we hit that time, we fall off the horse, fall off the wagon, Lord, I pray that you would help us and give us the encouragement to get right back up and charge forward again and forget those things which are behind. Help us continue to press, dear Lord, in the Christian life that you've given us and the location where we are. In Jesus Christ's name, we do ask. Amen. And amen. You hope and pray God was good to you tonight in the preaching and teaching of his word, and that you could make the decisions.